Hello everyone, good morning. You're welcome once again to the Grace Community Church. This is the session where you listen to God's Word, and I'm sure that you have enjoyed yourself till this time. I thank you for staying till this time, and I'm sure that by the time you finish this session, you would have had a deeper insight into God's Word concerning the topic we started. God's Word is powerful. God's Word is quick. God's Word is dynamic. The Word of God has a way it reaches the situation of man beyond his knowledge. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, "The Word of God is quick and powerful. Is sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces even through the dividing of the soul and of the marrows, joint and of the marrows. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." God's Word can address any situation. God's Word can touch any situation. God's Word can turn around any situation. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter where you are in life, just embrace God's Word and it will turn the situation around for you. We started another series last week under our general series or teachings about faith, faith in action. We started a series last week titled Faith, Faith, Hallelujah. And the topic that was preached last week was the concept of work. The concept of work. We established a number of things which I would just advise that you go back and, you know, listen to them either on this platform or you go to the church website. They're already loaded there. You know, just click on it, listen again on it, you know. But for summary, we said that work is an integral part of the believer's life, and every believer, everyone must embrace it, must do it to the glory of God, and it must be taken as a privilege. Work should be done with the right attitude. Work should be done with the right attitude, given that God set it up for everyone to benefit from it. So the right attitude to do it must be embraced as well. Hallelujah. So that will take us to today's topic, which is titled The Attitude of Work. It is very likely that I will not finish this topic today, but let's just go on. If I'm able to, then, but most likely I won't. If I do not finish, we will continue next week. So let us pray. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the going forth of your word to your children. Lord, I pray that they will receive and embrace it with meekness. They will accept it as your word. They will accept it by faith. And they will see the effect of believing in their lives. Thank you, Lord God, because this truth, this reality, will bring the right perspective to doing things, the right perspective to approach work by faith. And thank you, God, for a fruitful reward of their commitment to work. Thank you, glorious God. Amen. The text this morning will be from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 10. And I'll read. It says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. See, the writer here relates work as what you can do or afford to do here while alive, as against when a man dies, when a man is no more, showing to us that there should be some form of attitude, some form of commitment to the issue of work while you are living or while you are still alive. Amen. The attitude of work. The attitude of work. So I'll start this morning by talking about attitude. Attitude is a certain way of thinking or feeling about something. Attitude describes the perception that you hold as it concerns something, how you think towards it, how you approach it, how you embrace it, which determines what your action about it will be. Your attitude towards a person will determine how you relate with the person. Your attitude towards an occasion will determine how you attend to it. Your attitude towards work will determine your input and how you commit to it. That will bring about a favorable, a good, result. Attitude is a reflection of one's perception or reality. Attitude is always a reflection of one's perception or reality. And this is what I mean. The attitude you have towards something will largely be a product of your perception or a product of your knowledge of that thing. If your knowledge about reading or your perception, your knowledge about who you are will determine your attitude towards how you relate. A good example is when a man understands when a man understands that he is a man, it determines his attitude as per how he carries and conducts himself. A lot of times when you see a man acting as a woman, it's because his perception or is the reality of his understanding as regards who he is has been tampered with somewhere in his head. So he carries himself, or he perceives himself, or he creates or he generates an attitude that is not inclined to the reality of who he is. So attitude is a reflection of one's perception of reality, of one's reality. So on that note, it is good to establish some truth about who you are as a believer. It is good to remind you one more time of a truth about who you are as a believer, which would begin to determine the kind of attitude you put to work. When you know who you are, it determines how you conduct and carry yourself. It determines the attitude you bring to it. When it king who or a prince who understands that he's a prince, it determines the attitude of how his conduct wherever he finds himself outside, even outside the kingdom. So it's good, it is important that we start from here to bring to remembrance certain truth about who the believer is, which will determine what his attitude to walk will be. Amen. And one of them, I'll just be talking about two, because there are so many realities that we see from scriptures that will help the believer, you know, have an awesome perception about life. Number one is that you have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. Jesus, before he left, he made a promise that he would not leave us as orphans, but he will send another comforter. And he gives us the perception of sending the Holy Spirit, for short, sending the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 talks about how when you believed, it says you also received, you know, you received the promise of Holy Spirit, you know, as a seal. The Spirit of God has been given to the believer as a seal of ownership. And on that basis, because you have the Holy Spirit, you know, based on the book of John 14, he says he can teach us, he will guide us into all truth. He is there to teach, he is there to instruct you. The Holy Spirit is there to comfort you. The Holy Spirit is there to strengthen you. So you have the Holy Spirit. As a child of God, as a believer, you must never lose focus of this reality, because this determines a lot of things about how you approach life. When you are in tune, when you are conscious, when you live in the reality and in the consciousness of the truth, the reality that you have the Holy Spirit, that you received the Holy Spirit when you believed, it will set you up. It will begin to determine the way you conduct, the attitude that you bring to life, that you bring towards the issues of life. Amen. So you never forget, you have the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The second point is an offshoot of this reality, because the Holy Spirit makes it an affirmed truth and reality, is that God is with you. God is with you. By virtue of having the Holy Spirit, it goes without saying, because God is placed there as a seal, that you were introduced in the presence of God, that God decided to come and tabernacle on your inside. 1 Corinthians talks about how that he says, do you not know that you are the temple of God, that his God has chosen to come and stay, dwell with his own children. Says that we are lively stones being built a temple unto God. The general assembly is the dwelling place of God. God is with you. Jesus said in John 14, like I said, as far when he was promising the Holy Spirit, says, I will not leave you as orphans. He says, but I will come and I'll stay with you forever. He's there. God is with you. God is with you. Genesis chapter 39 and verse 2, the story of Joseph that really comes to mind when he was being introduced there. Genesis chapter 39, he tells us how Joseph, who was in hardship, I would say he was prosperous. Look at verse 2. Let me read from verse 1. It says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Joseph was a slave, and he was described as a successful man. Hallelujah. King James Version uses the word prosperous. Joseph prospered as a slave. Why? Because God was with him. So, if you're going to, before we start talking or giving a taking it further as per the attitude you bring in as a believer, it is important that you embrace this truth. At least this truth has been mentioned as to that tells of such a largesse that God has invested in you as a person.